I'm Chance.
And I'm Sarah Catherine.
And this is Conservation Connection,
presented by Last Chance Endeavors.
We are a husband and wife team running a wildlife education nonprofit. It's focused on connecting students to their environment.
Each week, here on Conservation Connection, we do just that, introducing you to the groundbreaking science and conservation work that's happening every day across the globe.
We talk to professionals in the world of conservation science and wildlife management, and we ask them about their career,
their current projects,
their wild and crazy stories from the field,
and everything in between.
This episode is a collaboration with EarthX here in Dallas, Texas.
EarthX is the largest Earth Day celebration in the world, and it brings in speakers from every corner of the environmental arena.
Listen in to hear the stories of today's environmental titans, covering everything from environmental law, ocean health, renewable energy, clean transportation, and so much more.
Let's get to the show.
Today, we have an awesome episode for you guys. We have a powerhouse, a full panel of people here who are working in the virtual reality film world. I'm going to let you guys introduce yourselves because I don't want to do that much talking. So let's start over here.
My name is Susan Grella, and I am the associate producer for Emerging Media at Vulcan Productions.
I'm Christophe Bayesh, and I'm filmmaker and co-director and co-founder of Underwater Earth, a not-for-profit organization based in Sydney, Australia.
I'm Sophie Ansel. I'm VR filmmaker. We just released the film Guardian of the Kingdom with Christophe on Vulcan Production and Raymond Chavez here.
I'm Raymond Chavez with the Global Mana Foundation, and I'm one of the producers for Guardians of the Earth.
I'm Chance Reuter, and I'm really excited about this.
Welcome to the show, everyone. We're very happy to have you here today. Why don't we start with the big product that y'all have here at EarthX, Guardians of the Kingdom. What exactly is that storytelling?
So Guardian of the Kingdom, it's a VR film that we made in Tonga. It's about the community of Tonga that was once a whaling community. And today they have turned into ecotourism. So basically the story is about the daughter of a whaler who inherited the knowledge of her father about the ocean. But unlike her father, who was killing whales, she is today working with whales and she's very much in love. So we tried to do a film that put a parallel between two mothers, one mother on land, which is Finau, our main character, and one mother underwater, which is Moana, the big whale, whose voice is narrated by Sylvia Earle, the oceanographer.
And where exactly is Tonga?
So Tonga is a kingdom located in the South Pacific, not too far from Australia, about, 3-4 hours flight, 4.5 hours flight from Australia. It's a beautiful place, really an amazing community, warm people, incredible, nice people. And we really felt at home when we went there to shoot the film.
So how long were you guys filming in Tonga?
So we went there for about 2 weeks, filming in mostly the island of Apai. There's a set of three islands, and Nuku'alofa is the capital, then there's Apai, and then there's Vavao. Most people tend to go to Vavao, but our story got us to Apai, which is a less known island, but nevertheless a very, very beautiful one.
So prior to the 2 weeks, we also make some research and meet the community before we film. So it took us maybe 1 month and a half really on field.
On pre-production, yeah.
I bet that was a real hardship.
It's very interesting, actually, yeah.
I'm glad you guys enjoyed it. So basically, the story is talking about the culture of the Kingdom of Tonga and how it's transitioned from traditionally a whaling community that relied on that as a way of life into a modern day ecotourism where they're able to support themselves by protecting the whales and by making sure that they're accessible to people so that others see them and learn to love them, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, so basically what is interesting also is that today, if you have one whale alive, the revenue will be about 1 million during a lifetime of a whale. So that's thing that was is ecotourism. It's trying to put forward that the one whale alive is much more valuable than one whale dead. And so there is a bit of that discussion between the people who still wanted to keep the whaling practice in Tonga and the people who have tried to put the ecotourism forward.
I think that's such a great and important story to tell. And this story isn't just any kind of typical film. Now, this is done in the VR production space. So can you tell us what goes into making a film in the VR field?
So it's a little different from a 2D way of filming, given that obviously when you use a 360 camera, as the name suggests, you can look around completely in full 360. So just the nature of filming is very, very different. You place your character in the core, in the center of the action. So when you film, as an example, you got to make sure that the people working on the set have to kind of hide away before you start filming. And the approach and the way in which you craft a story is also different. You know, you can play as well with sound because you can direct, depending on the sort of technology you use, you can direct the viewer into a certain aspect of the film. And then what we've also done with our story is we've mixed an array of different visuals, you know, terrestrial filming, obviously, but drone as well in 360. And what really I think is not very often done is underwater virtual reality, which gets you really so close to well as if you yourself literally swimming with them.
It's pretty amazing that this group, which I'm sure is obviously the four that are here, are just a tiny slice of the people that were bringing this story to life. But it's pretty amazing that this team is basically able to take somebody with a pair of VR goggles and put them on the ground in Tonga, under the water, swimming with the whales, flying through the air to see the beauty of this nature. That's a pretty incredible experience that you guys have worked very hard to make accessible to anybody who has access to a set of VR goggles. I have a lot of respect for you guys having this vision and making it that accessible.
The wonderful thing about VR is that there is just no other medium like it, in that you put the viewer right in the middle of the action. You give them an empathic connection, an emotional connection to the story. And the way VR works, really, once the viewer finishes the experience, they will remember it as if they were really there. The memory gets imprinted into the brain as if they were really there. So the connection is very at an individual level, and it is very strong. And this is why Vulcan Productions, our company, is based in Seattle, and it was a media company founded by the late philanthropist and Microsoft co-founder Paul Allen. We tell stories, we create stories for change, and we are invested in supporting VR projects like Guardians of the Kingdom, because we believe in this emerging media. We believe that it has a very unique impact, and we are all about connecting with our next generation, the tech-savvy generation that might find this technology pretty cool. And we just want to inspire that next generation to pick up and join in our forces to cause for change.
So obviously, we get to put on these VR goggles or look at it on our phone or our computer and kind of move our phone around, this really cool technology that we have now. And we get to just enjoy what you guys have filmed and put out there for us to see. But I know that there's so much more that goes into that. Can you kind of run us through how much production time and what that production time actually looked like leading up to getting this film out there?
Sure. So there's so many different aspects, I suppose, as you pointed out. The first one being the pre-production, which is coming up with, okay, write the story, which we know takes time still to craft and find out the characters. And then there's this whole aspect of, you know, how are we going to make it in terms of finance? You know, at the end of the day, we need to just find the budget to be able to go out there. And then comes the production, which we touched on before about going out filming. And then the post-production, which also is a bit of a big beast, because it's very, very different from any standard film. 360 VR project post-production is really heavy. It's very complicated.
I can't even imagine what it takes. You know, yeah. You're not dealing with one rectangular frame. You're dealing with 360 degrees, and doing any sort of editing in that environment has got to be just a logistical nightmare.
It is involved. It is involved. It takes time. It is involved. And so, yeah, that aspect is very different. But, you know, we're very privileged to have Susan and Raymond. And in terms of pre-production, I think Raymond may want to touch on that, who's been very, very much involved in making this happen for us to go out there and film this amazing project.
I just want to add one thing also. It's about, you know, it's filming in 360. It's so different because you don't really control all the environment. So because you have to hide each time you're filming, most of the time, except underwater, of course, because it's more difficult. Although we have some scenes in the film that the camera is by itself. But we also, the production was about, you know, trying to find the whales. You're working with wild animals. So sometimes it's long hours on the boat waiting and hoping, you know, we will find the whales. And
it's really hard to schedule nature. You're like, hey, can the whales be here at 10 o'clock today? That'd be great.
Yeah.
So I want to ask, why the Kingdom of Tonga? Why this specific place on Earth to do this project?
Yeah, it's amazing. Literally, it is one of the only places on Earth where the Oceania community of humpback whales go every year between June and August to give birth to their babies and nurture them for 6 months before they take the long journey back into Antarctic. So it's a phenomenal, very, very rare event, and it happens only in the Kingdom of Tonga for these Oceania community of humpback whales. And it is the Kingdom of Tonga for a good reason, because they have a king and a queen, a hereditary king and queen. And anything that happens in Tonga has to, of course, have the blessing of the king and queen. So we were very fortunate to have the support of the royal family, the king and the queen, and also, most importantly, the local communities. And that's really, I think, for Sophie and Christoph, the inspiration of this story was, we were talking about humpback whales. It's the only place on Earth, and this is one of the first times ever. And there are very few first evers in natural history filmmaking anymore, where you can say, but it is the first time humpback whales with their babies in the beautiful blue clear waters of Tonga was ever filmed in VR in 360. So there's a lot of firsts to it, but it is a kingdom, and for both the whales and the people. And it's one of the only places on Earth where you can witness this. So that's why we chose it.
Yeah. Well, yeah, it seems like the only place to do it.
And the only place is because, yeah, Tonga allows people to swim close to the animals, right? Of course, when I say that, very importantly, I need to add the fact that there's a lot of regulation that surrounds this kind of encounter. You got to be very respectful. You got to be very careful about the sort of behavior that anybody has in the water when interacting with these animals. And it doesn't happen anywhere else where you can be very, very, you know, close to these animals, again, with a whale guide. You know, when we were filming, we were always under the supervision of a professional whale guide. And that's good anyway, because you really want to be protecting these encounters. And yeah, that's a very, very incredible place to witness this type of encounter.
I would love to just go around the table here and see how each of you got into this field, because I know there's so many people who are like, I really want to be a videographer or photographer when I grow up, but it really is a competitive field. And as you mentioned, it's hard to get funding and find money in that field as well. So we can just start with you and go around the table.
Well, my background actually is in production animation. I fell in love with the medium of animation since I was like 7 years old. I saw The Little Mermaid and I was like, that is magic. How do I do that? And so I pursued a career in the fine arts, and then later into 2D and then 3D animation. So that is my background. I went to a school that also did video games. It's kind of one of the most prestigious schools in the Pacific Northwest, called DigiPen. And that's where most of the really great technologists and engineers study to make the biggest video games in the world. And so having that background of gaming and filmmaking kind of gave me a leg into augmented reality, then filmmaking here with Vulcan Productions and documentary, because I was kind of one of the few that understood the medium of animation. And then when about 2 years ago, when the opportunity came up to do some work in virtual reality and emerging media, 360 storytelling, I was ready. I was ready to do it. And so I totally understand the post-production part of it and how the talent and the people that are doing this is very specific. It's a very small pool. And we're just very lucky to have these wonderful filmmakers, accomplished divers, and photographers bring these stories to us.
Awesome. How about you?
So actually, before getting into this this passion, really, I pursued a career in corporate. So, you know, believe it or not, I was a management consultant for a few years.
Wow.
And then with an MBA and that sort of stuff. And then eventually I had a sea change, literally, and decided to drop everything and, you know, started back into working in a bakery to make ends meet and then pick up a camera and starting to film. So it was really just, you know, coming at it from a real deep passion and a calling in a way, right? A bit of a life purpose to accomplish that and wanting to kind of get into underwater filmmaking. And the way we started was with a bunch of friends. We thought about an idea of trying to reveal the ocean to the world and to the masses in different ways. That was about 10, 12 years ago. And we simply thought, well, how about we take Google Map underwater? And that's how we started. So we came up with the idea, which, you know, in hindsight sounds like so obvious, but back then it wasn't. And then we literally invented a camera. Invented myself as a, you know, engineer, which I'm not, but a photographer. And then, you know, bring all these pieces together, build this amazing camera system that's called the SV2, which I developed with a couple of other guys. And then off we went. And long story short, but we got a lot of different partners that were interested in the project. And we started to reveal the ocean virtually and build these virtual dives so that people could go and explore the ocean for themselves without getting wet. And with that came outreach, education, and all sorts of things.
I love that. We're going to circle back around to that because, yeah, I have many more things to talk to you about with that.
And what about you, Sophie?
So I lived for a long time in Southeast Asia, so between Malaysia, Thailand, and Burma. I've been working as a freelance journalist, so I was kind of playing with different mediums and trying to tell stories. I was very involved, in environment and as well as human trafficking and everything what's happening there. And I was trying to find different ways, you know, how to tell stories. So I worked with books and with graphic novels and film. And I kind of find more and more like creating intimate stories is also very important, just to touch people's heart. So that's kind of like my focus was, yeah, create intimate stories. And when the medium of VR came along, and I met Christoph, so in Australia, and I follow him on a few expeditions underwater. So I was really getting really, really interested. The opportunity came with Oculus, who had VR for Good program to create a film that will talk about the overfishing and the different good stories, hope stories from Mexico. So I started to work on this film called Out of the Blue. I found the VR being a really great medium to create intimate stories and connect the people to the nature more easily. And I think that's what the nature and the wildlife needs today is to get more space into people's attention so that, you know, we can start to feel what can we do for the nature. And yeah, we need people's attention, and VR can bring that.
Yeah, and I absolutely love that. And I think in some of our previous emails, you had mentioned the phrase stories of impact, and I love that phrase. I think that's great, and that really is what you guys are doing.
And it kind of goes back to what, Susan, you were saying about how VR affects people in a completely different way. You feel like you're there. And so it's that intimate storytelling that you were talking about, that this technology is a whole new way to connect someone the way that a 2D film can't. Because when you're experiencing 2D film, you see the screen in the movie theater. But when you're experiencing VR, you're there. You're in the middle of the ocean. You're right next to Moana, the whale. And that's a really, really impactful way to get someone connected to what's going on out in nature. I love that.
Yeah. And then Raymond, why don't you tell us your background?
Yeah, I've been making documentary films for over 30 years. So I'm the old man of the sea with this this young crowd here. But for our listeners, this is my first VR film. So it's definitely old dogs can learn new tricks for me. And it's been a remarkable experience. And as my colleagues have said, from an experiential and impact perspective, to be able to take viewers that close to a humpback whale in such remote waters is just unique to VR. So as a new storytelling medium, and it's why we're just so thrilled to be partnering with Vulcan, this is the future. And for listeners, and especially younger people who are looking at this, the other great thing is the opportunities are amazing. The cost is coming down. Some of the barriers to entry into this field are really disappearing. And so I think it's a call out to a whole new generation of storytellers to use this medium. And I would encourage you, because I think as you explore it, you're going to find that there's so many opportunities open.
Clearly, VR and AR is cutting edge. It is what is brand new and is going to be mainstream moving on into the future. Coming back around to this, and you, Christoph, were a big part in developing the cameras that were used in this particular endeavor. So I'm going to go back to a statement that you said before where you had the idea to take Google Maps underwater, right? Why would I need to be able to put in an address underwater and be able to use Google Maps to explore that area? What sort of a value does that bring around? Because it's not like I have an appointment, you know, at the third brain crawl to the left on the Great Barrier Reef. Where did that idea come from, and what was the purpose behind that idea?
Let me reassure you first, you still cannot put a street number and an address underwater.
That's probably good.
It's probably a good thing. But basically, we came at it from realizing that one of the biggest issues facing the oceans is the fact that they are completely out of sight and out of mind. You hear, people saying we know more of the moon and Mars almost than we know of our own planet. And underwater, even more so, we know probably 10% of what's going down there. So yet this environment is key to life on this Earth. You know, half of the oxygen we breathe comes from the ocean. And so very little people connect with this. If you're lucky enough to live on the coastal area, you can see the ocean, yet that doesn't necessarily mean that you're connected and you understand what's going on. So the idea came about that we wanted to really connect the people to the ocean in the most immersive way, and try and educate people and connect. And because, that's the first step into protecting something that you love, but you can't love something you don't see. So it's kind of how it came about. And so putting people into this environment the same way you are going from A to B on Google Map, well, you are virtually diving your way into a certain area of the ocean, brings you there without moving from the comfort of your own home, and you can be immersed into an environment that otherwise you wouldn't know anything about.
I guess the analogy that's popping into my head as we're talking about this is that you can sort of think about the ocean like a book. And if you're standing on the coast, you can see the cover of the book and you can be like, oh, that looks really interesting. But you can't read what's in the pages until you get in the ocean. And that's just not an option for so many people. And so a film like Guardians of the Kingdom that gets people underwater and experiencing it, or the Google Maps project that allows you to take a virtual scuba dive from wherever you may be, that is like giving someone the opportunity to read a chapter out of the book and get a real sense, a personal connection to what's going on there. And you're absolutely right. That is the first step in getting somebody to protect the ocean, because if they don't know what's happening, why would they care? Yeah. Absolutely.
And just one thing to add to that is that the stats tells us that 99.9% of the population have never dived and right. They never will. So, that's another thing. I mean, how can you bring these people wherever they live, whether it's in the middle of China or wherever, right? Close to this environment that are key to this planet.
Absolutely.
And legislators as well. I think that they are a key component to protecting our oceans. And if they don't have access to see what's at stake, then we have a problem. So how beautiful is it that we live in a world today where we can bring these experiences to them who have power of legislation to protect the oceans, to vote on behalf of conservation? Very important and very much aligned with our mission.
Yeah, and I think it's also like the VR, Guardian of the Kingdom, our objective also was, to bring a story from a mother on a calf that they are living in the ocean. They are directly impacted by us. So like having people to see those animals, those inhabitants of the ocean, you can think about where your plastic goes today is going in the ocean, and it affects those animals very much, on the shipping that goes from one place to another there because we need to, I don't know, ship anything from another country to another country. So it really has an impact on the animals. So I think it's by creating some kind of link between the people and the animals and create some kind of emotion to the animals or some empathy, that will probably help to create a call to action for the people to make a change in their consumption, in their daily life thing.
And this is why I think a big, and I think this, I'll hand over to Susan, but one of the very, very big component of this project, Guardians of the Kingdom, is what we're going to do with the film. You know, one thing is to watch the film and get immersed into it and certainly trigger curiosity and foster understanding. But then after that, there is the aspect of impact. How do we take that further? And, you know, we are going to be working closely with everybody in the project, and specifically Susan and her team at Vulcans to create an impact campaign and a distribution sort of campaign that's going to make sure that this film reaches as far and wide as possible and has a real impact.
One thing that I wanted to add that is a personal love of mine for this project is that while the story is an intimate relationship between two mothers, it also highlights the importance of when governments make a good decision. And this is not a call to the people, right? This story is not like the people of Tonga got together and then they pushed for legislation. No, this is like the king of Tonga decided in the 1978 that the whales were disappearing from his nursery and he was going to take legislative action to protect these creatures. And that alone is a huge stance, you know, a huge example for other nations to be first, to take action and protect their waters, protect their forests, protect their fauna and flora. And so that's why I also love this story.
Yeah, because if he didn't take that measure in 1978, the whale will be completely extinct. So they were at the brink of extinction at that time. So that decision was completely crucial. I mean, if you can imagine today a world without whale, I mean, that's
I don't want to.
Yeah, that's what will happen. On, yeah,
absolutely.
Yeah, it'll be devastating.
To further that point, to imagine at that time, when most of the industrialized countries were still slaughtering whales, the courage it took for the king and queen of Tonga and the people of Tonga to declare they were going to stop killing whales. And this was a tiny subsistence nation whose livelihoods and survival in part really directly linked to the harvesting of the whales that they'd been doing literally for thousands of years. So the courage that that took and the signal that it sent to the other nations of the world, and as it turns out, it was very visionary by the king and queen of Tonga because the world followed.
Yeah, decades ahead of their time.
Yeah, and I think to end on a note of, I know you guys said that you were looking at your impact campaign and how to get this out there, but for now, if we have people listening, students or teachers, anyone who wants to see this film or experience this film, is there somewhere that they could access it?
Yeah, so we are launching the film literally tomorrow at EarthX, and we're really excited about the opportunity to do so. The team at EarthX is really incredible and have been extremely supportive. We've got a nice setup there, in fact, including some beautiful imagery from acclaimed photographers from around the world that have agreed to sort of print their photos. And so we've got a little bit of a nice setup there. Then following EarthX, the idea is to, definitely make sure that as many people as possible will watch the film. So there's going to be more festivals, but, you know, the idea is to place it online for people to interact with and so forth. But maybe, Sophie, you want to add something there?
Yeah, and I guess all the information we will put it on guardiansofthekingdom.org. So we'll keep people informed or where they can go screen the film, which festival will play the film, where online they can watch it. And also, there will be potentially some screening. If you want to organize a screening in your community, you can contact us.
That's fantastic. We'll make sure that that ends up in the show notes. So anybody who's listening right now, just scroll down, check out the show notes, and we'll put a link right there so you guys can click on it and get the most current information about this film.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, Susan, Christoph, Sophie, and Raymond, It was so amazing to have you guys on the show with us today. We can't wait for our listeners to hear this. I think they'll get a lot out of it.
Thank you guys so much for being here today.
Thanks for having us.
Thanks for listening to this episode of Conservation Connection.
If you enjoyed our podcast, go ahead and subscribe to make sure you catch every episode that we post.
We would love to hear from you. So if you want to reach out, go to our website, lastchanceendeavors.com/contact, and shoot us an email.
We love questions from our listeners. So if you heard something that you want to know more about, be sure to let us know.
We'll post bonus content that addresses your questions and gives you a little more information.
A big thanks to EarthX for hosting us, and a big thanks to you for listening. Don't forget to tune in next week.